The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. In the Israel Update with Anthony Wright, only on FIFF.
Anthony Wright, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Good, good, thank you. How are you doing, Howard?
Excellent, thank you. Prime Minister Netanyahu was front and center last night. That was at the official launch of the Likud election campaign. What are the most important incidents or noteworthy things that happened during this evening?
Well, it was clear that Prime Minister Netanyahu was King Bibi at this particular event. I mean, the event was really molded around him. You know, he is the centerpiece of the Likud election campaign and the hope for the Likud to gain another term in office leading the country. And that was, you know, very, very clear last night as he stood up to make the speech in the launch of the official election campaign as we head into the final 4 weeks now of the election campaign before the upcoming general election. And there were quite a few interesting events that happened during the course of the evening, the first of which was that the head of the Independent Election Commission decided that Netanyahu's speech would not be played live on TV, and that it would be necessary to delay his speech so that they could go through the speech before it was actually broadcast over TV. So there was a slight delay while the speech was being made, and then the Independent Election Commission representatives were poring over the footage of the speech before they then released it for broadcast on TV. And there were a lot of comments about the fact that this was an attempt somehow to derail the electioneering process. The Labour Party was actually the one that petitioned the Independent Election Commission to ban them broadcasting this live on the news channels. And obviously their petition was successful. So that was the first event of the evening where we all thought we were going to see things live, and in the end it was all very delayed. Interestingly, Netanyahu was photographed constantly, and a lot of footage was shown over and over again on TV of him shaking Gideon Saar's hand, who was there in the front row of the individuals who were supporting Netanyahu in the whole production, we can call it. I mean, it was really a big production at the Tel Aviv fairgrounds last night. Gideon Saar is, of course, we know, the pretender to the Likud crown. He's launched himself now as a potential alternative to Netanyahu. That becomes very interesting when you throw Gantz and Yair Lapid into the mix, because Benny Gantz has been quoted as saying that the new Kahol Lavan coalition, which has been formed between Lapid and Gantz, would be interested in forming a further link with the Likud, but only as long as Netanyahu is not there. So that's an interesting comment.
Wow, that is an interesting one.
That brings Gideon Saar potentially into play, because, you know, he could be seen as the person who could lead the Likud into such a link up between the two. But I think the main thing of the whole evening were the chants from the Likud supporters at the event, chanting, "It's either Bibi or Tibi." That's the new chanting line now for Likud supporters. And of course, the Tibi refers to the Arab member of Knesset, Ahmed Tibi, who has been quite well documented as undertaking more than one or two actions which are considered to be quite treasonous for Israel. And so the way that the Likud supporters are seeing things is that if you don't vote for the Likud and you vote for Kahol Lavan, which is, of course, the Gantz-Lapid team together, then they, in order to form a coalition government, would probably need to include the Arab party as part of their coalition. And so, therefore, a vote against the Likud is effectively a vote for Tibi, or a vote for the Arabs, a vote to bring the Arab party potentially into a coalition government. So that's the kind of way that this is all being put together. And of course, the Prime Minister in his speech held back nothing in terms of criticizing the press for the things that have been happening over the past few weeks. He was very keen to mock Benny Gantz as being very bland, and that they are effectively people who are dressing up as they are left wingers, dressing up as people who are positioning themselves in the center, and that's really not the case. So, you know, he was really on form last night, and he had a lot of choice words to say about a lot of people. And of course, you know, he didn't hold back when criticizing, as I say, the press, and particularly Benny Gantz, who seemed to be the leader now, the pretender to the throne, potentially the main competitor that Prime Minister Netanyahu has for the seat as Prime Minister following the upcoming general election.
But still a fair amount of fear-mongering, isn't there, in the Likud approach?
A lot of fear-mongering. And, you know, that has always been the Likud's approach, you know, to question the ability of anybody else to manage the security situation, to question what others would do about the Iranian situation, and to present Prime Minister Netanyahu as being the only alternative, the only possible person who could lead Israel through this current, you know, not crisis, but current situation, where on the one hand, Iran seems really to be intent upon strengthening its position, not only against the US, but against Israel in particular. And of course, the issues that we're having on the southern border with Gaza, and the buildup of the Iranian forces in Syria, and the Syrian situation. So the Likud very much is fear-mongering in order to present Prime Minister Netanyahu as being the only possible candidate who could lead Israel through this quite precarious situation.
Absolutely. Let's just talk about the explosives balloons, because they now are continuing to be sent over the Gaza border into Israel communities.
So this is becoming a real issue, because as we remember, over the summer months, we had these balloons that were being sent over the border, and effectively, they're not accurate at all. I mean, it's just a balloon that's being launched in Gaza. The wind effectively blows the balloon over the border into Israel. Those balloons that were being launched in the summer just had a flame attached to them, so that as they landed, or as they got caught in a tree or something like that, it just effectively set the area alight, and Israel had to deal with a lot of fires as a result of those fire balloons that were being sent over the border. Now that the rainy season has come and those fire balloons are not effective at all, there is a new phenomenon that's now been developed, and that is the phenomenon of an explosive balloon. So in the same way as balloons were put together with this flame at the bottom, instead of the flame now, we have an explosive device. And we saw two of those balloons being sent over the border yesterday in towards Israeli communities, where they actually landed within Israeli communities and exploded. One landed at a swimming pool of one of the communities. Fortunately, it wasn't a particularly good swimming day, and so it didn't endanger anybody. Another balloon was reported to have landed between houses in a community along the border area with Gaza, and also exploded. On this occasion, there were no injuries, there was no damage caused, but those explosive balloons, even though those explosives might not be very, very strong, but if those explosives landed near to people, they could potentially cause damage, they could potentially kill people. So this is becoming much, much more of a serious issue. And the IDF is having to work out, together with new Chief of General Staff Aviv Kochavi, they're having to work out how they're going to be responding to this. One of the ways that was considered to be responding to this is from a financial perspective, because at the moment, apparently, without Qatari money, Hamas is feeling the real financial pinch. And there is a lot of work going on around, on the one hand, from Hamas to say, they will not be quiet unless you give us some money. On the other hand, the Israelis are saying, you're not going to get any money while these explosive balloons are coming over the border. So these explosive balloons could potentially be one of the negotiation features of some work being going on between Hamas and Israel, potentially on a financial solution. But obviously, the IDF has also been very active in responding to these explosive balloons, as is still currently the policy of the IDF, not to allow any incident to go unanswered.
Mm. And of course, if only that creativity and ingenuity could be used to better the lives of people rather than to make weapons to damage and kill people. But that's just a lament. The U.S. Army has brought its most sophisticated anti-missile system to Israel to take part in a joint training exercise with the IDF. What's the significance of the presence of this system in Israel, Anthony?
Well, the U.S. Army and indeed the IDF are trying to play this down and say it's just a regular pre-scheduled joint drill, joint exercise that takes place between two military allies. It happens from time to time. Nothing's really out of the ordinary. However, this does look very much out of the ordinary. And the reason for that is because of this terminal high altitude area defense system, otherwise known as THAAD. THAAD. This is an American anti-missile system which has the ability to intercept long-range ballistic missiles. And the Americans, together with the IDF, have seen fit to charter an aeroplane that carries this equipment to Israel, along with a few hundred American troops who have come along to take part in this drill. The drill will involve deploying the THAAD anti-missile defense system in various places in Israel, the south and the central part of Israel, just to make sure that it can be quite easily deployed. One cannot ignore the fact that Iran is increasingly presenting a risk, a threat to Israel, particularly with the development of its long-range ballistic missiles, ballistic being missiles that can go outside of the Earth's atmosphere and then re-enter the Earth at a different place, obviously on its way to a target. Mm-hmm. And Iran does have the ability to send ballistic missiles, and potentially, if this nuclear program of Iran is allowed to persist, then they could in the future potentially have long-range ballistic nuclear missiles, which of course would be pretty disastrous. Now, you know, a lot of questions are being asked about how this THAAD system might fit into the overall protection that Israel has. We know that Israel already has its own range of anti-missile systems, indeed including the Arrow system, which is also a system that's designed to intercept ballistic missiles which come from outside of the Earth's atmosphere, in addition to the Iron Dome, which of course is an anti-missile system for short-range missiles, and for, in addition to David Sling, which is a missile defense system which is designed to intercept long-range as well as cruise missiles, which are fired at ranges from between 40 to 300 kilometers. So Israel really has a whole range of anti-missile systems for different types of missiles that might be launched towards Israel. And yet the THAAD system is also now considered to be potentially part of that overall range of anti-missile systems, because the U.S. seems willing, if the need arises, to help to deploy the THAAD so that, you know, Iran doesn't present the sort of threat that it might otherwise present. I'm not sure what this means about Arrows, whether this means that Israel is unsure about Arrows.
Mm. But one did get that sense in any event that that the Arrows wasn't quite on the same level as some of the other Israeli systems.
Well, I think the Arrow is one of the newer ones that's been developed recently. It's had some tests and it seems to have been very successful. The problem, of course, with these things is that unless you really test it in real life, in action, you never really know whether, you know, it's going to do what it's supposed to do. So, for example, in the case of the Iron Dome, we know exactly what it's able to do, and we're very, very familiar with some of the weaknesses that it has, and that's all very, very good for us. Unfortunately, we've had to test it in live situations.
In combat.
But at least we know what it's able to do. With the Arrow, I think that there is an element of potential uncertainty about whether it will work in the way that it's supposed to when the moment comes. And hence the idea of this THAAD being tested, at least for now, within Israeli territory and potentially deployed if the need arises. So I think that this training exercise, and of course the fact that the THAAD is here, I think is much more significant than the militaries of the two countries are prepared to acknowledge, at least in public.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, that's where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. Anthony Reich, we'll be back with you same time, same place tomorrow with our latest report from Israel. It is 8 o'clock. Here's your news with Zanati.